This is one of three podcasts that are a part of our program. Subscribe to Market Analysis, Market Plus, and the M2M today. Thank you.
This is the Friday, January 8, 2021 version of the Market Analysis segment for Market to Market. Grain traders had an epiphany of sorts this week as 2021 picked up where the old year left off. Continued drier weather in South America was paired with the release of private estimates just ahead of a stack of USDA reports. March wheat lost 2 cents, while the nearby corn contract added 12 cents. There was more investment in the soy complex, even as China canceled some of its sales. Nearby soybeans jumped 64 cents. March soybean meal went up 10.20 per ton. March cotton expanded $1.65 per hundredweight. In the dairy parlor, February Class 3 milk futures skyrocketed $2.18 or 13%. A down week in the livestock sector. February cattle lost 55 cents. March feeders dropped $3.43. And the February lean hog contract declined $1.58. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index improved 13 ticks. February crude oil added $3.81 per barrel. COMEX gold lost $54.90 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index improved more than 19 points to finish at 426.05. Now here to provide insight is one of our regular market analysts, Dan Huber. Dan, good to see you.
Good to be here. Thank you.
I caught your attention with the word epiphany. We'll get to that in a moment.
All right, very good.
But it was something you wrote last week that I talked about last week.
Okay.
And it kind of continued into this week. And that was the wheat market and how it kind of seemed to be left out of the big rally.
Right.
Had a run-up, but then this week falls back down. It did turn negative 2 cents.
Right.
But
right.
It didn't rally 64 cents like soybeans did.
Always.
Why?
Well, you know, of course, when you look just at the sheer fundamentals of wheat compared to corn or soybeans, and not to mention the demand situation, there's not an issue really at this point. When you look at the global stocks of wheat, you look at domestic stocks of wheat, I mean, there is nothing that is going to really push prices that much higher unless you continue to elevate them along with corn and beans. So certainly there become a price point where corn becomes too expensive, or maybe soybean meal, meal becomes too expensive, we'll feed a little bit more wheat. You know, we're maybe kind of at the border of that, but it's, the availability of wheat should be good. Yes, the winter, the acreage is probably, not going to improve significantly or grow significantly over last year, if any. But that said, Russia, Ukraine have had some issues, but still look like a pretty good crop. Australia looks great. Argentina is just into wheat harvest. So it's, we don't have to worry about where the next bushel of wheat's going to come from.
Well, we have good stocks. So, I mean,
absolutely.
Losing acres might become a bullish story, or at least a necessary story that was needed for a while. So when you start to see a tick downward, is it time to pull a sale right now in any of the wheat markets?
Well, I think if, particularly if we're looking out at the new crop at this point in time, if you do, if you're getting geared up, if you think your wheat looks pretty good, you're certainly over the $6 mark. So, I mean, it's hard to argue with booking in that kind of revenue. Maybe you don't go 100% because, again, we don't know what's going to happen when it comes to spring planting. There's certainly going to be a battle for acreage as we come into the spring. But, I don't think you're going to probably lose that many acres of wheat here moving forward from what we've already done already.
The big battle will be between corn and soybean acres, seeing where they can grab extra ground, whether it's cotton or wheat.
Yeah, I think you throw cotton into that mix as well. I mean, you've seen the cotton market, of course, accelerate along with corn and beans, knowing that as we get into the spring, we're going to see who puts best dollars out there to get the acreage out there this year.
So. But the cotton price, though, as you said, has been going up.
Sure. Sure.
Is it going to continue that trend, especially after Tuesday, if it would, say, on prospective plantings, lose, or an acreage discussion, lose acres, that would it send this market even higher?
Well, if we lose some more production, possibly so. I mean, and I think that's the next trick here is, do we see China really, really step up the buying of the cotton? I mean, they have been a pretty consistent buyer really for the last 6 months to begin with. So will that continue on? And if that is the case, we're going to have to have cotton at least maintain the acreage we had last year, which might be a difficult challenge against beans.
Which one looks to have a better 21? Corn or soybeans right now?
You know, I would say it's somewhat of a toss-up. Yes, I think right now you're looking at your corn-bean ratio. It's a little bit favoring beans as compared to where we were a year ago at this time. So you would tend to think that we could start attracting a few more bean acres out there. But, the big as it has been for years now, the 800-pound gorilla in the room is China. How much demand is out there? You know, we know they've been a substantial buyer of beans now over the last 6-7 months. But in the same token, well, I really should say since August when they really started coming back into the bean market. But there's a lot of discussion that they could, with that expanding hog herd over there, could be substantial buyers of corn as we move into next year. So, you know, I think we've got a bit of a toss-up here as we move into the end of March.
Is China buying corn one of the biggest surprises of late 20 to you in this?
I think it surprised everybody a little bit that they came this quickly back into the corn market. But, you know, if you can believe the numbers they've published as far as how they have rebuilt that hog herd, I guess it shouldn't be a shock. I mean, that they're supposedly back to 90% of the pre-African swine fever production levels, which is just phenomenal that they could expand that fast. So I think I read there a week or two ago, there was one single operation, I think it's a Huan pork company, was going to have one farm, 89,000 sows, and, you know, had basically put that together within a year, which is astounding, really.
And that's going to be a story that we hear moving forward that'll impact the hog market. We'll get to that in a moment.
Absolutely.
With corn specifically, there was a little bit of a bearish story on ethanol. One of the longest ethanol plants in the United States announced it was done.
Right.
It's become a tough margin for the ethanol producer. Does ethanol become a loser here for the near term?
Well, it certainly doesn't have the kind of story it did throughout the 90s or the 2000s and the 2010s. You know, crude oil, of course, is going to be have a major play within that. And we've actually seen the crude oil market really recuperate pretty well particularly from the disaster lows that we saw back in the spring. Saudi Arabia this week agreed to cut back on their production a little bit further. So that really kind of helped stimulate that market. So, you know, if anything, that could help restore some of the profitability to the ethanol market if we could get that raw price back a little bit stronger than where it stands here today.
We finished Friday below $5. How much above $5 looks to be on that corn number and for how long?
You know, I guess Uncle Sam will give us a lot of help on determining that come Tuesday. You know, it's a, you know, picking highs, I guess, is a... It could be somewhat of a fool's game. I don't think we pushed dramatically above $5 at this point. You know, not that we couldn't get into the teens. But you know, when you look at the corn situation, even if the USDA drops us down to a 1.7 carryout, which is what's being discussed for the report next Tuesday, that's certainly not a panic situation of the corn market. It's a dramatic change from where we were. And of course, if we went back a year ago now, you probably would have had people talking about 3 billion bushel carryouts in the corn market. So, I mean, hence, very justifiable why we are at the $5 level for the first time since 2014. But to really extend it through here, particularly after a market that's really been rallying straight higher, very few corrections since the beginning of August, it's difficult to think that we're going to get something bullish enough to really extend that move from here. So it's probably going to, if it's going to happen, it's going to have to come with a little more surprise buying from China.
Yep. All right, I have a question that came via Twitter. Farming for the Future is asking you, Dan, when is it time to start selling new crop beans? Have the South American weather patterns been the largest driving force or not?
I think they've been I would say dominant, but possibly equal to the Chinese demand. I mean, the combination of the two have certainly, if one kind of slacks up a little bit, I mean, up until this morning, we had an outright sale to China on the overnight. But, you know, they have been in and out of the market. I mean, those are very shrewd traders. They know it's time to back away if things get a little bit heated. But when they backed away this year, then you had South American weather kind of pick up the slack. So I think the combination of the two have really driven us to where we are. When you look at that new price, you know, your 1160 futures range, I mean, that's easily $11 beans for a lot of people walking out of the field. Boy, if you as an individual are thinking about increasing your acreage, you know, I would certainly look at locking that in. You know, tempering it a little bit is, you know, between here, at least to the end of March when we get the acreage numbers, and maybe you could say even into spring, it's difficult to really imagine prices coming apart and that we won't have several opportunities to make sales in these ranges. You know, that said, I don't think, you know, when we have all this bullishness going on, we tend to forget that unusual things happened. I mean, a year ago today, did anybody predict what was going to happen in the year 2020.
So. Well, let alone the last 6 months. Oh, I mean, even absolutely. Since July has right. been a major story. I need to ask you real quickly in soybeans here. You talk about an epiphany. At what moment is the realization that maybe the good times are over and we have got to head to the exits?
You don't want to hear, again, you probably can't really come apart, just in the respect that we can't do anything at this point to encourage demand, you know, at least until we have a better handle on what's really going to be harvested in South America. Now, granted, you know, we started seeing some bean harvest a week ago. By mid-January, we'll see that pick up. And some of those early beans are probably going to be some of the worst beans in Brazil, but it is going to be available supply.
Yeah.
So psychologically, that's on the market. You know, and one other key element in there that I think we have to keep in the back of our mind is, you know, throughout most of the last year, we've had a declining dollar, making our prices more competitive around the global stage. The dollar itself is acting, you know, reaching the levels that we've supported at a number of times in the past. So we may not have that extra bonus that's keeping us competitive in the world market.
All right, I got to get real quick into the livestock market because the cattle had a retracement this week, 38% correction. And then the technical, those that watch the technical seem to jump right back in at that exact moment.
Sure.
There's a lot of pressure on that livestock market right now. When does that end?
Well, you know, and again, it's not the time of the year to see a big booming livestock market, so I think we really probably starting, we need to get out towards a little bit better weather before you see that recuperate. Now, granted, anytime you start pushing these dollars back out into the hands of the public, you know, with the most recent stimulus bill, I mean, that's always going to be a slight positive or some kind of a boost for what could be on the sales of meat products and things of that nature. But yeah, I think in the cattle market, you probably start to have to look at spring, summer before you really see anything better than we've had.
And in the feeders, it's going to continue to have that pressure of the feed price,
right? Oh, absolutely. As long as corn prices stay like this, I mean, that's a... That's going to be a weight hanging on top of that feeder market.
So again, hold out for a little bit longer if you can.
Oh, you know, I guess I wouldn't be in any kind of a panic mode. But on the same token, you know, we have pushed up to areas that, you know, for the last 12 months have stopped the cattle market, have stopped the feeder market. I think if you see returns to those levels, you know, certainly it's worth taking advantage of and locking that in.
All right, in the hog market, we talk about China. How much longer before that impacts U.S. production and U.S. sales?
Well, you know, and I think a few weeks ago, you probably already had a lot of people thinking, geez, you know, with the rate they're expanding at in China, we're not going to see them remain as a substantial buyer in U.S. pork. Then they surprised us a week ago with some pretty massive purchases on the weekly numbers. We're pretty much absent this last week, though. So, yeah, I would tend to say, yes, seasonally, we tend to move prices higher into the spring, summer. But, you know, looking out into those spring and summer prices, anytime you're in that 83 to 85 cent range on summer hogs, that has been traditionally a pretty good price and has capped rallies in with outside of the most exceptional years or you know, 2 years ago when we really started seeing the panic of the African swine fever. So, you know, here again, we might have priced a lot of that in already into the summer months. And I think if we see China back away, it might be tough to sustain those numbers.
Dan Huber, good to see you.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
All right. That'll do it for this installment of Market to Market. We will talk more in Market Plus. We're going to talk about dairy this time. So join us there. You can find it on our website of markettomarket.org. Now, whether it is winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you have to do is follow our feed, and we'll be there with you from scenes from rural America. Give us a follow at Market to Market Show, or just tag us in your images so we can see some of your finest work. Next week, we'll bring together a panel of analysts to break down the numbers contained in several major government reports. Thanks for watching. Have a great week.